Well, greetings today. This is Steve Clark, and it's a pleasure to be able to share again this morning in the Daily Inspiration. We've looked at many things and considered a lot of things this week in our series titled The Cry of Wisdom. And today is day 7 of this 7-day series. I hope you have been blessed and encouraged and challenged and stretched even in your thinking here. So far, we've considered how wisdom cries in the streets. We've considered why wisdom cries in the streets. We've looked at what happens, or we've looked at what wisdom is saying in the streets. Also, what happens if we don't listen to wisdom. And then the last 2 days, we saw many places in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs of the blessings, the benefits, the promises of what happens when we listen to wisdom and walk in wisdom. Maybe you're raising a family. I don't know who's listening, but maybe you're raising a family. I would encourage you to teach Proverbs to your family. Go through the book of Proverbs. Teach about wisdom. Teach about making wise choices. Teach about the fool and how the fool makes his choices and what the consequences of his choices are. Teach about the person who makes wise choices and how his life is pleasing to God and the outcome and the benefits and the promises of God to those who walk in wisdom. And get your young people, get your children to desire to be walking in wisdom instead of walking as the fool. And that's so prevalent in our day and age. It permeates our society. Even in our, sometimes in our young people in our churches. So I just really encourage you to teach this to your children daily. Just go through a few verses. You don't have to take a whole lot at a time and just sit around and talk about what it's saying there. Maybe make some charts of this is what the fool does and have them hanging on your wall. This maybe a comparison chart. This is the way the fool acts on one side, and then this is a way you could use like butcher paper and divide it down the center or something and have this long banner and start making a comparison chart. One side is the fool, one side is the person who walks in wisdom, and have your children involved and let them do a certain, or you know, like when you're reading, okay, now what are we talking about here? Is this talking about foolish person or the wise person, and have them make these decisions of who it's talking about. So that's my encouragement to you today. I hope you're able to do that, to teach these things to your children. See, God has given us wisdom. He's made us as human beings with the ability to walk in wisdom and in the fear of the Lord. With animals, it's different. He has instincts that he's put inside of animals to guide them and to lead them. And yesterday I was mowing grass, and I was pondering these things. And I was thinking about, like, the deer. When the deer and the elk, when they're out in their environment and you go hunting for them, they are so keen-sensed to sound, to smell, and they oftentimes have very good eyesight, and they're very apt in their environment there. They can make choices of what they're going to do, how they're going to flee and get away from the hunter by their ability to see and to hear and to smell. They have some very keen senses, but they don't have wisdom as far as being able to ponder things and consider things and make a plan of safety and things like that. I was also, as I was mowing, I was thinking of like the honeybee. The clover was blooming pretty good yesterday when I was mowing, and there's a lot of clover around, and there's these honeybees, and I like honeybees. I was a beekeeper for around 20 years, I think, and I like honeybees. I try to protect them when I can. If I see them in the house, I'll let it crawl up on my finger, and I'll take it outside and let it go. But when I'm mowing, you know, sometimes I'll stop the mower if I have time and just let them get by. But if the mower is going fast enough, it'll just roll right over them because they're not very quick as far as when they're on the flower like that. But I was thinking, you know, the honeybee, it's a she. The worker bee's a she bee, but she's on that clover, and she's, you know, sucking out the nectar and all these things. They're incredible. They, you know, they have the hive, and they're all inside the hive with doing their thing. Some are the workers, some are cleaning, some are taking care of the eggs and feeding the eggs, and they're doing all these kind of things. And they're very smart in a way. They're very, have a lot of ability. They can make honey, and they work hard, and they're busy as a bee, as we hear. But they're not very wise in some ways, because when they're on the clover and you're coming up to them, maybe they will fly away. You'll give them time to fly away, but where do they fly to? The next row, right where you're going to come back on the next sweep. And they can't sense danger in that sense. Now, God has given them the ability to sting if they get trapped, and, you know, he's put some things into their makeup that they can protect themselves or protect their hive. But they're not real smart as far as being able to get out of the way. If, you know, if a person was getting honey off the nectar and the mower was coming by, he'd say, well, I'm going to go over to this other yard over here, and they're not mowing over there. I'm going to get my honey from over there. But honeybees aren't, they don't do that. And I was considering even, you know, maybe a children's lesson sometime, or talking to our children in our Sunday school class about the honeybee. What do you know about the honeybee? How much, you know, are they very smart? Oh, yeah, they're smart. They can go get honey. They can go do this and that. I said, well, how big is their brain? And when I, you know, I was thinking, well, is it the size of a quarter? Well, you know, the children would shake their head and say, well, of course it's not the size of the quarter. They're not even that big. So their brain is very small, and they're smart for the things that they do, but they don't have wisdom. They don't have wisdom to say, okay, well, there's danger right here. I'm going to go over to across the street, over to the other yard. They're not mowing over there. There's clover over there too. They're not smart like that. They just go over to the next row, and then they're getting honey there, and you come by them again, and sure enough, and you maybe can run over them. And even in Proverbs, it talks about, let's see if I can find it here. In chapter 6, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So what is Solomon there saying? What is God saying in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11? Well, he takes the ant. Consider the ant, you know, and here the ant does this, kind of like what I was just saying about the honeybee. But their brain isn't very small. Their brain isn't very big, but they do make their nest. They provide for the winter and all those things. They store up, but they don't walk in wisdom. And I think what God is saying here is, you know, here we can consider an ant, how good they can do with many things, but what about this sluggard? he doesn't even have as much smarts as an ant. That's what I think this is saying. He doesn't even have as much, here his brain's big and the ant's brain's so tiny, but he doesn't even have as much, as many, he doesn't walk in wisdom even better than the ant. I don't know how I'm kind of stumbling over my words here, but I was thinking of these things as I was mowing yesterday, and I think this would be a good illustration also to teach to our children, considering the ant. But this sluggard, this one who just likes to lay around, he's lazy, he's not doing his part in the family or whatever, he's actually walking as a fool. And this is, you know, what this is talking about in these chapters about wisdom. He's walking as a fool, not as a wise person. Even an ant does better than that person. So another thing I wanted to share here real quickly is God's will always accomplished? Is God's will always done? I think I presented some things this week that make you think, well, isn't God in control? Isn't he the one, you know, making everything happen? Doesn't he plan everything? Isn't our lives completely in his hand and nothing's going to happen to us if we, you know, then what's going to happen to us? And so we don't have to even worry about things. If we get in an accident, that was God's plan. That was God's will. If this happens, that was God's will. If that person dies, that was God's will. Everything is God's will. God wills everything, and it's always God's plan to do everything. Well, I don't believe that's true. God is not, God's will isn't always accomplished. And there's many examples I could give, but the one of the ones that is very clear in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now let me ask you this question. Are people perishing and going to hell? Well, I think you're shaking your head yes. People are perishing and going to hell. Well, it's not God's will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I could give you many other examples, but it's God's will doesn't always happen. Look at Israel in the time of in the Old Testament and how God told them to do something and they didn't do it. This is what he wanted them to do. They didn't do it. And then he punished them for not doing it. God's will isn't always accomplished, and he punishes them. They wanted manna, they wanted quail, they wanted meat, they didn't like just this manna all the time, they wanted meat, and so God gave them meat, and then many of them died in a punishment that God had done there. You know, he punished them because of their lust and their gluttony and even their rebellion there. And so God's will isn't always accomplished. I don't believe it's always accomplished in the life of an unbeliever, and I don't believe it's always accomplished in the life of a believer. His will, we can walk out of his will by walking in the way of a fool. And it can be in areas of, like I've said earlier in this series, it can be in the areas of even like eating. And, you know, here we're gluttons and we like to eat and our bodies get real fat. Well, that's not God's will for us to eat like that and to be gluttons, and we might be born again and still walk in this way. So God's will isn't always accomplished, and there are things that happen because we walk as a fool or in a foolish way and not use wisdom in our life. We get on snowmobiles, our young people get on snowmobiles and go as fast as they can, and then they get killed, or they get hurt real bad, or crippled, or something, and we think, well, that was God's will. God can use good out, or make good out of things like this, because, you know, all things work together for good to those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose, but it's not his will that these things would happen, and or not always. Sometimes it is. Sometimes he does will for something to happen, I believe, that we just can't, that the person wasn't walking as a fool. He wasn't speeding on a motorcycle or something like that, and something happened to him. I'm not saying that it's never God's will to use things in our lives, but if we're walking as a fool and that happens, I don't think that was God's will for that to happen like that. Well, I'm going to close with that. Blessings to you. Thanks for listening. You can go back and listen to these messages, at least for the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks anyway, if you want to tell your friends or whatever. And I just pray that you would walk in wisdom. God bless you.